I come here and I say the truth as it is, alright? Okay? It will be injustice for this generation not to know the work this man did. His work to this generation has been an apostolic work in this generation. Let's rise to our feet and welcome the apostle. Apostle. Tony. Should I play now? All right, W2 Media, please can you play the video that they brought from Pastor Adeboye?
He used this opportunity to salute a great man of God by the name Tony Rapo. I've said it before, I'm saying it now again publicly so that it can be put on record. Tony was, or is rather, a man of awesome potential, intelligent, articulate, a man passionately in love with God. You share a vision with him, he will amplify it, he will analyze it, and he will run with it. I went abroad and I came to the airport, and Tony came to meet me at the airport and said, Daddy, we are waiting for your approval, but we have decided that we want to divide our present congregation to four, to form four new parishes, beginning from next Sunday, unless you say no. I smiled, I said, my son, I say yes. One Sunday, we gathered together as one. The following Sunday, we were in four different locations. That was the papa of the beginning, in the early days of the movement. He came to a meeting, and Tony got up and said, you are going to London. You are going to Germany. I heard you. No letter of transfer. No explanation as to what you are going to do. They just said, you are off to London. You are off to Germany. And that was it. That is movement. In a movement, you come to church, you don't even know where you are going to end by the end of the day. That is movement. You know the meaning of movement now. And I asked my pastors to tell me what's the difference between a vessel and a container. And one of them got it correct. He said the vessel is always moving from one place to the other. But when the vessel decides to stay put on one spot, it becomes a container. A movement was when, in those days, a papa in 2 weeks planted 15 parishes. Am I lying? There are people who are here who are old enough. I can say boldly, if I have 1,000 boys like Tony Rapo, I will deliver the world to Jesus Christ in less than 5 years. Tony is unique. Glory be to God. Let me.
Thank you. You may please be seated. That was very, very gracious of Pastor Adeboye. Thank him for that. And I know he's ministering here on Sunday, even though it's virtual. Pastor Shola, thank you for that word. I know you're one of those voices. Pastor Shola's voice is one of the voices that's piercing the atmosphere in the UK right now. And I know There is a coming revival. We've been waiting for it for 20, 30 years, and I know God is preparing people, and I know that your voice is one of the voices that God will use to open up things in the realm of the Spirit, you know. And thank you for tonight. Sometimes you're a second or third speaker, and the atmosphere seems a bit clear. And people don't know that those who have gone before you have, you know, have broken the hard ground. Thank you for breaking ground tonight for me. Thank you. That is going to be, I'm just going to ride on your grace. I want to come and greet the first lady especially. You know, there is a grace like Pastor Shala carries for healing the sick, and that's so powerful when we can heal the sick. But you know, it's another grace when you remain in health. So sustaining divine health is actually more powerful than actually getting healed. But did you know there's a third dimension when there is like a renewal of your youth? That's Pastor Tony. You're looking younger by the day. I need that grace. I need it from you. come on, let's put our hands together for Pastor Tony. Thank you. When people say behind every great man is a woman of God, my wife is in front of me. You may please be seated. Thank you, Pastor Tony. When your dad is a professor, your mom is a professor, Professor Apostle. There are many dons in the city, but then there are dons of dons. You know how people talk about city gates? Some of us are sitting at the gates of the city, but you are wielding a sword at the gates of the city. So we thank God for the apostle, you know. I know sometimes people call us pastors, but clearly when you see the works of an apostle, you can tell surely what's happening around the ministry is very clearly apostolic. And so it took me a long time to accept being called an apostle. I thought, oh, come on, I'm not into titles, but people won't let me be. I'm not going to let you be as well. Apostle. Yeah, he is an apostle. Sitting at the gates of the city, expanding the frontiers of the kingdom with dexterity and some eclectic mix of activities, you know. Come on, let's put our hands together for this man. Please be seated. When he summons, I respond. Hallelujah. I'm really glad to be here this evening. And I thought I was to come up at 7. So since you've taken the liberty to bring me up this late, I'm going to stay here till about midnight. But seriously, I have two messages in one. And the first is a bit of an introduction. And at the end of the introduction, I can bring in the second. And the first might take me a little longer to arrive at the conclusion. But we'll see as it goes. But I came with some pastors and friends and sons and daughters. Please, wherever you are, just wave. Thank you. And with masks, it's difficult to tell who's who. And I've got some spiritual sons sitting here. Let's see. I want you sons to rise up, please. Now, I've got four spiritual sons there, but one of my spiritual sons is actually my natural son. Tobechukwu Rabu. How many of you are ready? Let's sing a song. And no one can worship you for me. Hold on a second. Hold on a second, please. Mambe on a staccato. Let's add a shakira twist to it. Let's go. The West always had harmony. They played, you know, Beethoven. They had pianos and strings. But Africa always had percussion. And now the world is searching for what Africa has. So we can take songs and, you know, bring that percussive element. We can own it. Let's go. You, Lord, give it a bounce, a worthy. And no one can worship you for me. All the things you've done for me. And no one can worship you for me. You, Lord. You, Lord. You are worthy. No one can worship you for me. For all the things you've done for me. And no one can worship you for me. Here is my worship. Here is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship. Here is my worship. Here is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship. And all of my worship. And I will not be silent. I will always worship. As long as I'm breathing, as long as I am breathing, I will always worship. I won't be silent, and I will not be silent. I will as long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm breathing, I will always worship. Here is my worship. Here is my worship. All of my worship. receive my worship.
Oh God, receive my worship.
All of here is my worship. Here is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship. Hallelujah. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jehovah. We lift up holy hands to you, giving you glory, giving you honor, ascribing greatness to you, Jehovah. Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, let's change it. Yeah, ne ne brani bro, something creative. Shana bara banana masine ba. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. Oh, we worship you, Jehovah. No one like you. Hey. Glory to God. Someone shout hallelujah. Come on, Covenant Nation, shout hallelujah. Yeah. Someone make some noise in this house. Make some necessary noise. Hey. Bless you can go longer. Hey, 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 hey. Thank you. You may please be seated. Thank you. Apostle, I love this house. I feel so much at home here, you know. If I wasn't pastoring, I'd be sitting somewhere right next to you there, you know, just lapping up the grace in this house. All right, Psalm 135. I want to read from verse 8 to 12. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast. Please just keep moving. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations. He slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. He gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Let me see the next verse. Yeah, that's fine. The title of my message tonight is The Warfare Expressions of the Mercy of God. If you look at the next Psalm, Psalm 136 from verse 10, it's like we read through Psalm 135, And then we see Psalm 136 as though it's like, hold on a second. Let's show you what's working behind the scenes. Let's show you what we really have not said in Psalm 135. So look at Psalm 136. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. Please give me the response. It's a response. Sorry. He brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm. Oh, come on, Covenant Nation, make some noise in this house. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. He destroyed Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and routed Og, king of Bashan, and then gave their land as a heritage. Notice 135 and 136 are similar. The difference is the insertion of the mercies of God. And the Bible says these things in the Old Testament are written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the earth shall come. So we go to the Old Testament and see types and shadows that tell a story in the New Testament. And I love to teach from the Old Testament because you can build a story. The New Testament comes up with gives you the principles immediately, but the Old gives you a story. And in this scriptures, you see Israel coming out of Egypt, destroying kings, and coming into the promised land. That is a type of the church. So when you go through the Old Testament, you see types and shadows. When Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, Jesus said, "That was me." When Isaac was about to be sacrificed, God was saying, "That's Jesus." When Adam was clothed with a skin, I'm sure it was skin from a freshly killed white lamb. That was God telling the story of salvation. So all over the Old Testament, we can see the picture of Jesus Christ. The same way as Israel came out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, we come out of the Egypt of the world by the blood of Jesus. And as they crossed the Red Sea, that speaks of our water baptism. And the Bible says the rock that followed them, that brought refreshing, that rock is Christ. It's in us. And then they were in the wilderness before they entered into the promised land. So the same way as God's people, we get saved and we come into a wilderness situation. And from that wilderness position, we are led by the pillar of fire by day, pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night. So even in the darkness, he leads us. But this time around, the pillar of fire is inside of us. The pillar of cloud is inside of us. Sometimes we long, we yearn to have been there in those days when all these things happened. But if they could have imagined that this same pillar would be inside of the people, it's like, this is amazing. And then the way they entered the land of promise, we also come into our own promised land. And what is our promised land? It's not heaven. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants his will done on earth. And there is a perfect will for your life. There is something God wrote about you. Psalm 139 talks about it. It says, before my days, I was already, had every day of my life had been written. There's something written about you. So the promised land for the child of God is the place where you press in on a daily basis into the promises of God. And we are called to take territory. So the way Israel took territory, we are called to take territory. And Joshua typifies the Christian. If you look at Joshua chapter 11 from verse 16, I want to read some scriptures tonight. Joshua 11, 16. It says, then Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, the Jordan, the plains of Israel. Next verse, please. From Mount Halak and the ascent to Seir, even as far as Belgad in the valley of Lebanon, below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the Israelites except the Hivites who deceived Joshua. Every land they took in battle. I'm going somewhere tonight. But when the psalmist recorded the journey, he ascribed it to the mercy of God. So that the proof of mercy is the taking of territory. The proof of God's mercy is not just in the forgiveness of sin, but in the establishment of covenant so that we take over. So we rout out kings. We destroy demonic powers. In Joshua 12, from verse 1, it tells us the kind of the same thing. It says, these are the kings of the land whom Israel defeated. Let's just move very quickly. Look at verse 7 for me, please. These are the kings, the same thing. It says, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their division. Next verse, please. Let's go to 23. The king of Dor won. The king of... Let's go to the end of chapter 12, please. The very last verse. Go all the way to the very last verse. Yes, thank you. It says there were 31 kings apart from Sihon and Og, which Moses dealt with. Joshua then brought these 31 kings under subjection to the power of God. Many years later, in Joshua 13, verse 1, if you look at the NLT version, I like the New Living Translation, NLT verse, says, when Joshua was an old man, the Lord said, and the Lord laughed and said, Josh, you're getting old. And there's yet much land that needs to be conquered. Guess what had happened? Joshua was tired of fighting. I see that happen to many Christians as well. You get to a point, it's like, oh, goodness, one more battle. I'm really tired. If I had time on this introduction, we would look at David. God said, I have found a man who will do according to my will. And the Bible talks about the sure mercies of David. And what was the will of God for David? It was to establish a kingdom. The Davidic kingdom was a warfaring kingdom. Davidic kingdom was an expansive kingdom. David fought kings. If you look at 2 Samuel 8, it lists the battles David fought. We usually think of David fighting Goliath. But in 2 Samuel 8, please, the NLT version, it talks about the works of David. He destroyed the Philistines. He destroyed the Syrians. It says he subdued the Philistines by conquering Gath, the largest town. He conquered the land of Moab, make the people lie down. Next verse, please. It says the Moabites paid him money. He destroyed the forces of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. When he came out, David captured 1,000. That's fine. Next verse. When Arameans, the Syrians came to Damascus to help, David killed them. That guy was a warrior. And second, I think, Acts 13:34 talks about the sure mercies of David. The mercies that allows the child of God to take territory. This is just my introduction. Let me close my introduction with Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Please, New King James Version. And against his anointed, saying, New King James Version, please. Let us break their bands in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, I will give you the nations for inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Break them with a rod of iron. Dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Therefore be wise, O kings. See, this scripture talks about four kinds of kings. First, they are political kings who rule over nations and territories. And they're demonic kings who rule behind these political kings. And these kings, these demonic kings, principalities, powers, what they want to do is to rule. And then they're spiritual kings, you and I. That scripture is saying, it's us it's talking about. Be wise, O kings. Be wise, the judges of the earth. We're the judges of the earth. So there are political kings, demonic kings, spiritual kings, and the king over all kings. Please just stay with me tonight. I'm talking about what God expects from spiritual kings. Like David, we're called to take territory. We're called to walk in the mercy of God. We're called to walk in a certain grace. We're called to walk in a certain capacity. What do kings do? Kings go to war. In those days, kings fought. The only time David got into trouble is when he stopped fighting. The minute you stop fighting, you start dying. Kings rule. Kings reign. Kings have authority. Kings are wealthy. Kings expand their territory. And where the word of a king is, there is power. So when we gather, what's God's expectation? Is the gathering of kings. So why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The answer is because the kings, the demonic kings, have taken counsel against God and his anointed. You know what they are saying? Let's break their bonds. It's like they're saying, we want to be free. It's like God wants to bind us with his laws, his decrees, his word, his Bible, his truth. They are saying, smash every rule. Break every law. Bring anarchy. Bring chaos. Bring destruction. Bring degradation. Mess up the land. Put their kids on. Get their kids on drugs. Get their girls into prostitution. Get the men into crime. Bring anarchy in government. They are saying, break every rule. But he that sits in the heavens, why? Wait, there's a problem and you are laughing. It's either honestly you've got some, you know, like schizophrenia or something, or there's something you know that they don't know. He said, I have set my own king in Zion, and he's the king of kings, and I'm going to utter my voice from Jerusalem. Ha la boshka patahaya. So I hope this message is not too deep. This is just my introduction. As a child of God, what is your role? What is God's mercy all about in your life? Are you taking territory? Did Jesus go to church? Did Adam and Eve go to church? Why do we love church so much? For God so loved the world, not the church. He gave his only begotten son. Whoso loved the world, he gave the world the church. So the reason for the church is not to go to church, but to be the church. So whenever you see church, look around. You are going to see the government of Jehovah, because the church is the aggregate of the kings. They have a roar. They have a rumble. There's something on their insides. They can decree. They can fight. They can take territory. The book of Jude talks about contending for the faith which was once given to us. But what has happened is, next verse says, there's like a message, you know, that has brought turned grace of God into, you know, a kind of lewdness. Tonight, God has asked me to release an anointing for warfare. The Lord roars from Zion. Where is Zion? Is Zion not the church? What does Revelation 5:10 say? He has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign in heaven. Tonight, you know, in Exodus 13 from verse 17, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, even though that was shorter. Please, NLT version here. God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was shorter. Shortest route to promised land. God said, if these people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Next verse, please. So God led them in a roundabout. It's possible that you're going on a roundabout way because God does not want to lose you in the battle of life. Tonight, I've come. come to ask you to waken the lion that's within you. To waken the decrees that God has placed within you. Tonight, I want to ask you to please cooperate with me as we go into the message. I want you tonight to understand that there is a grace tonight for utterance. There's an unction for declaration. And you have to begin to understand the power of your decrees. Where the word of a king is power. King's decree. We shall decree a thing and it shall be established. Why I like that song, Pastor Shola, is that I love it, especially for UK. You go to many churches, they don't open their mouths to sing. So when I heard the words, I will not be silent. I thought this is so powerful. No one can worship God for me. Many times we're waiting for the choir to worship God for us. We're waiting for the pastor to declare for us. The Bible says there's only one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. We are not mediators. We are also finding a way into the Holy of Holies. All we are saying is that we've been there. Come along with us. The job of a pastor is to work himself out of a job because the believers have come to the place of strength. Oh, lift your hands. Lift your hand up to God. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight I come in the name of Jesus. I come tonight standing before you as your official legislator. I am your law enforcement agent. And I come in the name of Jesus because I know that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I declare that Jesus is Lord. In this battle, I declare, I proclaim, I announce that no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against me in judgment, I stand as a child of God and I condemn it in the name of our Lord Jesus. I decree no psychological weapon, no physiological weapon, no emotional weapon, no physical weapon. I stand against these weapons in the name of Jesus. I lift my hands to God tonight and declare that I am a child of God. I cover myself with the armor of light. I cover myself with the armor of righteousness. I gird my loins with truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Upon my head is the helmet of salvation. And I speak the word of God. I declare in this time that God's weapons are not carnal. They are mighty. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, I pull down every stronghold. I cast down every imagination. I come against every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's will in my life. Tonight, I superimpose the prophetic destiny that God has for my life over and above the plans of the enemy. I decree tonight that every burden will be lifted, every yoke will be destroyed by reason of the anointing. The anointing is upon me. I war with the spirit of Jehu. I war in the spirit of Elijah. I come against demonic powers in my life. I overrule in the name of Jesus every subverting activity. I overrule every injunction from hell. I come against every mandate, every order, every directive from the pit of hell. I smash it. I annul it in the name of Jesus. This is my hour. This is my time to rule, to reign. God has blessed me. God has empowered me. And as I move, I'm divinely empowered to take territory. I am a king. I am a king. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Tonight I decree as a king, and my words shall be established. The words I speak will not return to me void, will accomplish what I please and prosper where I send it, because I speak under the unction and by the power of the Spirit of God. Tonight I break down every generational curse in the name of Jesus, every soul tie, every contract, every allegiance, every alliance made on my behalf, knowingly or unknowingly, I destroy in the name of our Lord Jesus. I uproot, I cast down, I throw down, I destroy. Every curse spoken against me is broken. Every ill word spoken against me are destroyed in the name of Jesus. I speak to my DNA. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Lashuna makura sike de bakuta. Baruna sike bokura sike. Baluka tina shita kalike sike ba. Blado. Brika la sike te batushita. Malone mo sike bakihata. Ladushke boske voti. I can run through troops. I can leap over a wall. God has set me upon his high places. My feet are like the feet of gazelles on the mountain. He has divinely empowered me and enabled me. My hands can break bows of steel. I break every bow of steel that's working against me in the name of our Lord Jesus. I receive healing tonight. I receive strength tonight. I receive capacity tonight. I am a king. I am the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I am a temple of God. I'm Jehovah's mountain. He dwells within me. I am blessed. Blessed in the morning. Blessed in the noontime. Blessed at night. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. The hand of God is upon me. It's time for me to take territory. The mercy of God is upon me. The grace of God is upon me. If you believe that, lift your voice and shout. Hey! Hey! Shadabos kebota bakatisa kaba. Now stretch your hands out to God. Stretch your hands out to God. Father, tonight I lift my hands to you. I declare that from tonight, these are no longer my hands. Lay your hands upon my hands. Bring your favor. Bring your blessings. Bring your authority. Clothe me with virtue and honor, with dignity and with nobility. Today I move by the Spirit of God in power, in strength, in authority. My capacity is increased. I have faith to speak to mountains. I have faith to take territory. God's mercy is upon me. God's anointing is upon me. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I move. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I take a step of faith. 2022, the year of my restoration. 2022, the year of my increase. 2022, the year I flourish. 2022, the year of my restoration. 2022, the year I soar with wings as eagles. I lift my wings and I begin to fly. My God, I thank you. You've gone ahead of me. You're behind me. Your goodness, your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in your house, in your favor, in your mercy, in your anointing. If you believe that, shout hallelujah one more time. Now place those hands upon your head. Ah, la bosca pata nika hatea. Brida loske mate boske pota late shika. There's healings going on in this house. There's deliverances for intractable diseases, for difficult situations. I rebuke cancer. I denounce it. I reject it. I stand against it. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to your body, to your cells, your tissues, your organs. Be free tonight. Who the Son of God sets free is free tonight. I announce your liberty. Child of God, you are free. Free to prosper. Free to increase. Free to expand. Free to grow. God is giving you capacity. He will strengthen you with strength in your inner man. He will strengthen you with might. In the name of Jesus, this is your hour. This is the time of God's grace, time of God's favor, time of God's mercy. The anointing is upon you. Your hands are anointed. The anointing is flowing right now from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot. God is bringing blessings and breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. La pota nika zule bak. Pray with me in tongues. Kalida ba halakuta. Lekite boshka botaba. Nejine ne masuke bakati sekite. Oh, jadire bosike ba. Hallelujah. If you pray in tongues, I think God is changing, is changing some people's tongues tonight. La poska pahatale, maduna shia tahale kuta, zelika. Let's speak tonight. Brodo, brade, bradolisa akate isha le inte moksabi iteba ha, eku ide ishali ike deziba. I want you to birth your destiny tonight. Birth your destiny tonight. Take charity. In the realm of the spirit. If tonight, if you have to get into your knees, get on your knees, please get on your knees. You know, sometimes, listen, sometimes, you know, sometimes people talk about, oh, they shot an arrow. How about your shield of faith that can quench every fiery dart? Sometimes we as God's children need to enter those satanic wombs and cause abortion in their own incubators. We ourselves can stop the plans of the enemy. Not that there won't be trouble, but as Christians there are problems, but we are victorious. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God brings deliverance. Tonight there's your deliverance. I want you to pray through your deliverance. Hey, shalibra de basule bakuta masika bakuta. Igede ingejile kude bosuta bakata lika. Melida bahata. Megude bugo doho. Elika tusha. Mezine mabota. Bakota ila kudishitene. Egi matobam. I andeshu aba ude isali ikeba dumba shulenge iba dusa bakude You are a king. You are a child of God. God's grace is here tonight. God's mercy is here tonight. Enter into your destiny. Enter into the things God has called you to do. Elebo. Inagadi shakaba. Ilegede sutabahata. Begede boshi negede. Elegi bo salige badi moshi leki baskude stike de bota. Elegi de kamoga shidebo. We stop the plans of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we destroy every demonic device. We render every satanic strategy null and void. Every maneuver, every movement, every machination we're bringing down tonight. We are building. We are turning things around. Decree tonight, birth the perfect will of God for your life. Elematu Shebati, Baruka di Mosute Bahata, Egede Gushira Bahata, Yegede. Oh, Shalike Bakute Basike Bakuta Basika, Shakide Boska Bakun. God told Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, the Lord touched my mouth and said, see, I put my words in your mouth. With my words in your mouth, you can root out. You can pull down. You can throw down. You can destroy. You can build. You can plant. Your mouth is the center of spiritual activity. How you use your mouth determines the outcome of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please just, we'll go back to prayer. Can I just share some words, a little bit of the word? Just hear me tonight, please. I don't know if anyone's ever had the experience. Doctors don't know what it is, like Pastor Shola was saying, where you are pressed down at night. You're pressed down at night. Or just before your period as a lady, you have someone coming to sleep with you in the night or something like that. You know, medicine has no explanations because we're dealing with a realm of the unseen. But you know that if only you can open your mouth and say Jesus, you know it. Who knows? Maybe some people have died because they were unable to open their mouth at night. God gave us the gift of tongues. But the enemy has made us put it in the back room somewhere, as though it's something to be embarrassed about. La protoske pa nati lato, jade sabota mam, inke degu shamata lake. Listen, I'm preparing you for part two, where we're going to do some warfare. We're just praying personal prayers now. We're coming up higher because there's a battle over the soul of this nation. Seated. Can I go into part two, please? Because we're going to pray in part two as well. That's the real message I brought tonight. And I just love to read the scriptures because the scriptures speak for themselves. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 from verse 5 to 9. Now, this is Paul writing a letter to the Corinthians. He says, I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I'm passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Apostle, as I was preparing the message, this was the message I actually had in mind, but I knew I had to obey the apostle to speak a message on the mercy of God. So I waited on God to see how I could link warfare and mercy. And God gave me those scriptures. So with those scriptures, we can move into the real message. This is my message. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and explaining his travel plans. He says, I'm going to be in Macedonia for a while. And then I want to spend winter with you. But right now, he said, I'm in Ephesus and I want to stay here in Ephesus until Pentecost, until a few months from now. Next verse. He said, for a great and effective door has opened to me. But there are many adversaries. You have to understand Ephesus to see what Paul was talking about. Ephesus was the capital of Asia Minor of those days, which was under Roman rule. And it was a powerful city. It was a wealthy city. History tells us that the Greeks had conquered Ephesus and brought their culture. Then the Romans came and conquered Asia Minor at the time, and they brought their political power and their wealth. And then the Jews had dispersed. So inside Ephesus, there was Greek culture, Roman political power and wealth and debauchery, and there was Jewish religiosity. Apart from Rome, no other city like Ephesus. They called it the light of Asia. It was the gateway to all of Asia. But Ephesus was a strange city. It was the place where a statue called Diana of the Ephesians was located in a mighty temple. When we grew up, there was a teaching on the seven wonders of the ancient world, one of which is the Temple of Diana. If you recall, there was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, there was the Colossus of Rhodes. pyramids of Egypt. But Diana of the Ephesians, beautiful name, but it was a spirit. If you just Google Diana of the Ephesians or Artemis, which is the Roman name, this is the picture. You'll see pictures like this. Please put up that picture for us. Diana of the Ephesians was an idol that had many breasts. It was an idol that spoke of fertility. And it was it's a parody, it's a perversion. The true name of Jehovah El Shaddai is the many-breasted God. So here are the Ephesians taking an image and perverting it. And if you wanted to be blessed, Diana was their own El Shaddai. It was their own goddess that brought blessings. But to be fruitful, if you came to worship Diana, you had to have sex with the prostitutes. There were temple prostitutes. There was homosexuality. There was a lot of things going on at the temple. And people made these little shrines of Diana and carried them everywhere. And if you walked the streets, you went into homes, you would see obelisks like pillars. They all came from the temple. The idea of these poles or totem poles was that they were actually a phallic symbol. That's like a male sexual organ mating with the sky so rain could come down. It was just a perversion. Apart from Diana, you can take it off now. There was a lot of magic. There was incantation. There was divination. There was the occult. There were charms everywhere. And apart from that, it was morally corrupt. The Romans brought their corruption. The spas of Ephesus have been the most seductive spas ever. And then there were the ruffians who lived in Ephesus, as we would see in a few moments. So Paul arrives in Ephesus, sees the corruption, sees the decadence, sees the immorality, sees the degradation, sees the perversion, sees the troubles, and he says, "Whoa, I like it here." And writes a letter. He said, "I've got to tarry in this place because a great door, great in size, great in significance, has opened." He said, "It's an effective door. It's a chance for me to be impactful for the kingdom." He said, "I like it here. I love it here." He said, "It's a door of opportunity, a door of hope, a door of faith, and a door of utterance has opened to me in Ephesus. I'm not going anywhere. This is where I love to stay." Can you see his perspective? I want to prophesy to you that God would open doors for you in 2022. I had a vision once where I saw doors, all sorts of doors, aluminium doors, wooden doors, glass doors, and God was saying, "Walk through these doors. Walk through these doors." 2022 is the year of opportunities. The book of Ephesians says the same thing. It says, "Make the most of the time, for the days are evil." God had opened a great door for Paul. It was left for Paul to walk through that door. But he says, "Oh, there are many, many adversaries." See, people think that when God opens the door, everything will be smooth sailing. No. There will be adversaries. There will be opposition. In fact, the fact that sometimes opposition may mean something else, if you've done something wrong, but the fact that there's opposition means that you're doing the right thing somewhere. And you just have to learn to be unflinching in the place of battle, in the place of prayer, standing in faith, standing in your declarations, standing to declare what God has done. Goliath was just a knock on the door for David to gain national prominence. When Saul said, "You're a little boy, can you fight this giant?" He said, "Oh king, there was a day I was guarding my father's few sheep. A bear came, took one of the lamb. I went after it, smote it." He says, "Then a lion came. I did the same." For many people, the testimony will be, "God saved me today. When I saw the bear and the lion, I fled. I ran home. Let's praise God together." The people were praying, "Save us, oh God! Where are you, oh God?" And God was praying, "Oh God, give me a David." Perspectives are different. So God is asking us to go back to raising Christians who can war, who can fight. A door, Paul said, has opened, but there are adversaries. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. This is Paul still writing. He said, "If in the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let's eat like the Epicureans and die." Please get my train of thought. The man who says a door opened in the midst of filth and degradation and debauchery, but there were adversaries, then said, "Oh, I fought beasts in Ephesus." He tells them in one place that they're adversaries. Then in another place he says, "I fought beasts." Is it possible that the beasts were the adversaries? Or what is he talking about here? Because at that time the Romans would throw Christians into dens, into stadiums, and they'll fight with, and please put that scripture back. He said, but what he was saying here was, resurrection will happen. If not, why was I fighting all those beasts for? He said, I warred with beasts. So what, did he fight with lions? Did he fight with hyenas? Did he fight with bears? Who were these adversaries? For you and I, it may be family, friends, workmates. But what is Paul saying here? He said, I fought beasts. Let me share with you something. In Mark chapter 1 verse 13, please follow me carefully. Mark 1:13. This is about Jesus. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. Let's see verse 12, please, first. Immediately the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, was with the wild beast, and angels ministered to him. So what's going on here? How many characters are in this drama? There was the Holy Spirit. There was Satan. There were wild beasts, and there were angels. So what's wild beast got to do with angels and Satan and the Holy Spirit? Wild beast is Bible language for demonic powers. It will make sense that they're angels, they're demons, there's the Holy Spirit. If you look at Psalm 91, verse 11 to 13. Let's see the NLT version, please. He shall give his angels charge over you. He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Is he talking about zoology? Angels will strengthen you to crush lions. Demonic powers. Jesus said you can't enter a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. Please stay with me for a few more minutes. In Acts 20, from verse 28, Paul had spent 3 years, New King James Version, please. He was talking to the elders many years later. He said, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. He said, for I know, after my departure, savage wolves. Many versions will tell you it's people. But look at the consistency of description of fierce lions and beasts and savage wolves. Please go back to a verse before. Why would we think, it says, take heed to all the sheep. We know the sheep are the people, but it comes to the beasts and the savage wolves, we think they are people as well. The next verse then says, he says, when I leave, it says, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So there will be an attack from outside. He said, and then from within, men, says the demonic attacks will come to scatter the church. But from within you, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Please, just next verse, please. He said, please, watch, remember that 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with you. Where is Ephesus now? Ephesus is modern day Turkey. At the last count, they only found 4 Christians. Please stay with me as I unfold the scriptures. Remember, we're talking about Ephesus and Paul fighting beasts. Later, he wrote a letter to these same Ephesians after he left. And in Ephesians 6:10, he says, please, finally, he said, please be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against, stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians is one of Paul's masterpieces where he brings revelation. If the beast he fought were men or animals or lions, why is he saying, please put the scripture back, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. He said there were adversaries. I fought beasts. He told his disciples, be careful of savage wolves. He said, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. I could spend the whole day teaching on spiritual warfare, on what these categories of spiritual beings do. Let me ask you a question. Do you think, please put that scripture back. Have you heard of people being pressed down at night, or sometimes you do a deliverance and someone really turns around or is speaking or something? Do you think those demons, or remember the story of the man in the tomb that Jesus cast out demons and the demons entered into a pig and drowned? Now, those demons that enter the pig, are they principalities? Are they principalities? Think about it. Do you think principalities want to enter pigs? Are they powers? Are they rulers of the darkness of this world? Are there spiritual wickedness in heavenly places? Let me tell you something. Demons don't appear on this list. If you've gone to Bible school, they'll tell you that the origin of demons is not the same as these ones. These are fallen angels. Fallen angels don't want to possess human beings. Demons, by the way, are the disembodied spirits of the pre-Adamites. That's what graduates, you know. That's why they're looking for bodies. Because we can trace from Adam and Eve to now, 6,000 years. But science gives us Neanderthal man, Homo habilis, Homo erectus. Those were the pre-Adamites. But with the flood, God destroyed them all. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Which came first, the water or the light? But there was water. So where did the water come from? No, verse 2. There was water. Give us some other versions. Yes. It says, the Spirit of God, where did the waters come from? And by the way, what day was the sun created? What day? Please, let's quickly move to day 4. I think, go on, to maybe verse 11 or so. No, maybe 10. Please, someone tell me, please, where the sun and the moon were created. Verse 16. Put it in King James, in NLT version, please. Two great lights, the sun and the moon. The larger one to govern the earth, the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. Next verse, please. God set the lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night. God saw that was good. Next verse, please. That's the fall. So where did the light on day one come from? Is anybody thinking here tonight? Sometimes we've got to recognize that we don't know everything and we're willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. This is just postgraduate. The point is that they're principalities. They want to rule over nations. They want to bring false religions. They want to bring anarchy. They want to destroy governance. Those are principalities. Then there are powers. These take over areas. Police stations. Prisons. And then there are false religions. Or to talk about music and drug addiction and prostitution. So when we teach on warfare, there are different levels of warfare. There's the ground level warfare where you're fighting demons. There's the regional warfare when you're taking on issues in the area. And there's territorial warfare where you're fighting over national issues. The church has majored in ground level warfare, just chasing after demons. This is not a message for a conference, but God wants us to hear something deeper. Paul was writing to the Ephesians. He said, please, we're fighting principalities and powers. Please go on. It's next verse, please. He says, take up the whole armor of God that you can withstand the evil day. Having done all, stand. Then he begins to explain. Please move on. And then in verse 18, he says, look at the NIV version. He says, praying in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Pray with fasting. Pray in tongues. Pray understanding. Pray with groanings. Stay in the place of prayer. Let me begin to close. Acts 19. Let's see where Paul Now went to Ephesus and see what it is God wants to do here tonight. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. I'm doing a teaching in Ephesus tonight. Please stay with me for a few more minutes. He found some disciples there. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We haven't even heard there was a Holy Spirit." He said, "So what have you guys been doing?" They said, "Well, what we have is John's baptism." Then he explained that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, saying to the people, "This is what you should believe in. Jesus is coming." Then see what Paul did. When they heard this, he baptized them in the name of the Lord, laid hands on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. You know that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. But the 2 that the Ephesians received were the gifts of utterance. So Paul gets to Ephesus, finds the place dark, finds the place hard, finds prostitutes everywhere, finds the political system corrupt. Then he finds 12 men, lays hands on them, and what did they receive first? Kabasha kite boku papa ale kita. And the ability to make prophetic decrees. Because he was on a journey somewhere. Tonight, God wants you to sharpen your utterance. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul said, "Pray for me that God will give me a language, that God will give me utterance." That was his prayer. He said, "Please pray for me that the only prayer I need is to be able to have kapa te post kapita malene moshka." Because he said, "Don't pray that they will release me from my chains." He says, "Pray for me that I may speak. I may open my mouth boldly to preach, to pray, to teach." Next verse. "That I may speak boldly even as I ought to speak." How are you speaking? Where's your utterance? Where's your language? Where's your unction? Where is your voice? If you run through Acts 19, Paul now started preaching in the synagogues. They kicked him out. He then went to a place called the School of Tyrannus. And every day, next verse please, says 9 talks about what they did daily, reasoning, praying. So when he wrote to the Corinthians years later, he said, "We fought, we warred," such that, next verse, "This continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord." This, we need, I think, Apostle, we need some breakthroughs. We need to build governing churches. And what makes you a powerful man of God is there are 2 kinds of churches. I saw the Lord telling me he's going to change the angels around you to bring you into more authority in the season that's coming. And that is going to happen suddenly in terms of the change we're expecting. But that we've got to transition the church from community churches to governing territorial churches. This is the difference. The community church is a great church. But it depends on the man of God. When the man of God speaks, people are blessed. If he has healing, people are healed. If he has wealth, people come, you know, they're blessed. But the man of God is like Moses. Everything happens under the power of one man. If he disappears, the church falls apart. If he dies, they may pass on the church to a family member. But then there is the governing church, where it's the corporate activity of the people. Their voices high, rumble. Malapa, when they begin to pray, when they begin to worship. Here, the church flows out of the man. Here, and there's healing. And it's a great church. Here, together, they break open the heavens. And healing comes, anointing comes. The people are like breakthrough believers. So we have like maybe 5,000 people here. It's 5,000 churches we have. Everywhere you go, you enter into a hospital, you pray for the sick. You're not just visiting your own relatives. You find kids, you lay hands on them. You're walking in faith. You're walking in power. You're walking in authority. Tonight, there's a spirit of might that's been released here tonight. The spirit of might works in governing territorial churches. And as I travel the world, I try and check what kind of a church is this. I check their level of warfare. I check their level of governance. I check their level of pain. And I know this is an apostle. They go through pain. They go through warfare. But you can tell there's a government upon their lives. And they don't even share what they're going through, because it's just to build them up on the inside. For the taking of territories, and the mercy of God is upon you, man of God. So there's a shift that's coming. And that's why I'm preaching this message at the conference. Sometimes the community church gets very big. It becomes not a governing church, a witness church. Witness. You can't ignore it. But it doesn't do the work of the governing. Wherever Paul went, he set up governing churches. And so we've got to get into discipleship. And that's why you're a great teacher, man of God. We've got to build up the saints. The keyboardist cannot follow you home. The pastor cannot follow you home. One lady shared a testimony with me. It wasn't quite a testimony. She said, I just moved from, for example, Mafoluku to Bagada. But that upstairs, there's a man who wears in white garments. And at midnight, he calls her name. And that she heard her. I mustn't answer that people who, if they call your name in the spirit and you answer, you're going to have a stroke or you're going to fall down. She said every night at 12. She said she moved back to Mafoluku. I said, I think so. So she said, Pastor, are you really serious? I said, okay, let's change the question. Ask me, if this man was calling my name, what would I do? I said, let's assume the man's name was Ogunshakin. By midnight, he's calling Tony Raffo. Me, by 11, Ogunshakin died. Hey! Kappa, my own tongues, tapoto popo. Kamatik vernacular tongues, Kagogodo Moshi Makatego, Ekeleledu, Barete, Shamutomoku Bande Kumata Shede, Elegu Dababa, Inkego, Abagada Begido, Baka, And if he begins to call my name, hey, you know, Jesus said, whoever shall say to this mountain, he didn't say ask me, he was talking to the mountain. There's a level of prayer where God answers that. At another level, you're making declarations in the spirit. May you be anointed with utterance tonight. May God move your prayer level. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, we do not know what we should pray for like we ought to. No, New King James Version. So we have a weakness in prayer. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he who knows the mind of the Spirit knows that he's praying in accordance with the will of God. So our limitation is that we're not able to pray like we should. But God gives us utterance. Do you know, in John chapter 12, when Jesus went to home of Lazarus in 33, John 12, 33, you know what he did? When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, the Bible says he groaned where? Some people said he coughed. He groaned. John was writing historically, so he just wrote that Jesus groaned. But different versions have changed that original groaning to Jesus coughing or something. In 38, in verse 38, Jesus once more deeply moved. Then Jesus again groaning in himself came. There was a warfare going on. So a neighbor calls us. Oh, please. This is actually a true story. The people move into an apartment where they had dug a well for the building. And then a 4-year-old child years later fell into the building. They called the fire services. They said, there's no way we can do this. So it's one of the oil companies that then sends their own fire van, fire engine. And what they did was to dig a parallel hole next to where the little kid had fallen in. And then they let a man down, and the idea was to connect both, then they'll pull him out. So they called you as a prayer warrior. Come to the house of Sister So and So. And you get there. Initially, we could hear the child crying and whimpering. All of a sudden, can't even hear the child again. And they ask you to pray. How would you pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou will save this child. Remember Einstein's law of relativity? That E equals MC squared? So you create energy by putting mass and velocity. And you can create mass by uniting velocity and energy. You can birth some things by the velocity and the energy. So the mother is crying. ExxonMobil is trying to connect the holes. And a group of us come. And you see the woman. Won't you get on your knees and ask God for utterance? Oh God. Adashi in a more super intelina motuba hatele legi de bo Jehovah Maruda shi le kuwa de bo. Help us, oh God, Ibrate ilegide. We cry out to you, Jehovah Maruda base ilegida. I'm only teaching deeper dimensions of prayer. I'm not saying it's every case you begin to groan, but the Spirit helps our infirmities. I really have to close. Let me get my Bible, please, Pastor. Let me close on. Thank you. Let me close on Acts 19. Look at verse 11. Let's kick up at verse 11. The man who said there were adversaries said, I fought beasts. Then he warned them. He said, when I leave, oh. He said, when I leave and take away. You know what Paul said? He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, when I remove this apostolic grace for prayer, these savage wolves will come back. He said, I've been warning you every day. Stay fired up. Stay prayed up. Stay alert. Watch and pray. 2 years, all of Asia heard the word of God. And verse 11, it says, God then worked unusual. That means usual miracles were the norm, but this one was unusual. We need unusual. We're even begging God for usual. But the Bible is saying there's a place for the unusual miracles. That's what the church has to come into. And you don't need to defend God. God will defend himself. But we've got to pay the price. Just before COVID, man of God, I preached a message on Samuel. That there is a Samuel church. But it must be birthed by Hannah, a Hannah movement. That must intercede to birth this church that will then anoint the kings. Because the kings are waiting to be anointed. We need that church to emerge. Man of God, that's your calling for this season. Paul found disciples. He upgraded them by increasing their utterance. They moved them and they went into prayer. In 2 years, the place exploded. There's a handkerchief there, please. Let's quickly move through. No, give me the other one, please. Let's quickly move through. I know I'm rushing. I'm just really rushing. You know all the stories in verse 13. You know the story in verse 13. Let's stay with NLT to make the story interesting. A group of Jews traveling around. No, they'll keep it. Dead. A group of Jews. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in the incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out! Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. I'm just rushing. But one time, they tried it. This is the way I tell the story. The demon said, what should we do? These seven men said, come out of this man. They said, we can only come out if we are in a locked room. So they went to a locked room. So what did you say again we should do? He said, come out. He said, can you lock the door and throw the key away? Then the man said, what should we do? They said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches by now. They laughed. Jesus, we know. Put the scripture. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know him in the spirit. Paul, we know him in the spirit. Ask the person next to you, who are you? Who are you? If 10 of us line up here And we all want to pray and we all say, in the name of Jesus, pop, pop, pop. You see ranking in the spirit. Who are you? Please, give me that scripture, please. Let me finish the story. Next verse. The man with the evil spirit, one man, leapt on them, overpowered them, attacked them with such violence. They fled. Remember, I told you from the house. They fled from the house. Nick tore the seven, one man. They thought it was in speaking. They thought it was in eloquence. So who are you? What do you carry? Where's your spirit of might? Where's your utterance? Where's your authority? Where's your language? Where's your capacity? Where's your declaration? Where's your proclamation? Can you withstand us? Can you overrule us? Can you overcome us? Slaps. I was preaching at a men's conference once, and I was preaching on warfare. I told them a story of how some witches were flying past. So the men thought, whoa, whoa, God has opened our eyes. Look at these witches, though. So they started binding. You know how they were binding? Go away. Go. Go away. The demon, the witches just started laughing and came back. What did people say? There's nothing phonetics now. Go away. Said, tonight we're going to feed you with kola nuts, with cakes in your dreams. Who are you? What do you carry? We're tired of Christianity. I'm not saying there won't be problems. In fact, there will be problems. So I go through my problems. But I know that God gives me the grace and the sure mercies of David. Let's put the scriptures back. Look at the things that happen. Verse 19, let's move quickly. A number of who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books, burned them. Several millions of dollars. Whoa. So the word of God spread widely and had a powerful effect. Okay, this is where I really, really... I think I've closed like 3 times tonight. I'm going to close like 5, so I've done 3. Give me 2 more. Verse 21. No, let's just jump very quickly. Let's move to 23. About that time, serious trouble developed in Ephesus concerning the Christianity. It's called the Way. They called it the Way. It began with Demetrius, a silversmith who had a large business. You see, Paul's impact was government, business, spirit, everywhere. Okay. His business was manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis or Diana. He kept many craftsmen busy. He called them together, along with others employed in similar trades. He addressed them. He said, gentlemen, you know our wealth comes from this business. But as you have seen and heard, this man Paul has persuaded many people that handmade gods aren't any gods at all. And he's done this not only here in Ephesus, but throughout the entire province. Of course, I'm not just talking about loss of public respect for our business. I'm also concerned that the temple of the great goddess Diana will lose its influence, and that Diana, this magnificent goddess with so many breasts, worshipped throughout the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her prestige. So, New King James Version, please. When they heard this, they were angry. They cried out, great! Who is this Paul? Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Give me warfare, son, my man. I need warfare. Keep horns. Keep it on horns. No, I don't need instruments here. Yeah, horns. Please keep the script. I'm reading your scripture, please. When they heard this, they were angry. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. The whole city filled with confusion, rushed into the theater with one accord. And they arrested Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's companions. Then Paul wanted to go to the people. The disciples won't let him. Then some of the mayor's friends, the commissioners, Paul was just everywhere. When they heard, they said, Paul, don't go there. Therefore, some cried one thing and some another. For the assembly was confused. Most of them did not even know why they came. Area boys, please go back to that scripture. Put it in King James, in the NLT version. Some, like it says, in fact, most of them, how can people gather? They even know what they're doing there. Next verse, please. Please go back to King James. No. I'll tell you when to go back. Next verse, please. I'm really rushing this message. Really rushing. Then they drew Alexander out of the multitude. The Jews putting him forward. Not the shaker, please. And Alexander motioned with his hand, wanted to make his defense to the people. When they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice, how long? Okay, this is where we close, really. Please, can you just demonstrate that this is the theater? This is just a demonstration. So this is the theater. And you are the people who gathered, not knowing, excuse me, you know why you came, but this is drama. Let's create a song for 2 hours, a chance. Diana, give me congas, give me something native. Yes, conga. Diana, oh, great. Yes, give me a song. Diana, great is Diana, great is Diana, great is Diana. Thank you. How long for? When we ask you guys to praise for 30 minutes, the praise is getting too long, it's getting too long. These guys chanted for 2 hours non-stop. Demonic powers. Paul said, I fought beasts. Scripture. When they found out he was a Jew, 2 hours. Next verse. Let me see. What's the next verse? No. Please go back to 34. Let's stop there. All right. Who came to preach? Let's say you are Alexander. What's your name, sir? Wally. Are you a pastor? Are you a pastor? So you know the scriptures. Good. All right. Okay. So just stand here. I don't use a microphone. We are the rabble. We gathered. Let's go. Diana. 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 You guys, come on, let's shout Diana. Do you know this is how many of us are in the spirit? Nobody can hear you. You don't have the utterance. You don't have the voice. And so we see churches being divided, being broken. People leaving. I thank God for Pastor Deboye's message, because it's important that whenever you leave a place, they can say good things about you. But today we see everybody wants to be a leader. Is it easy to be a leader? Even those who are called apostle, you're not going through problems. Those who are called anointed are going through issues. Then somebody wakes up one day, I want to be known, I want to be a pastor. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, in the spiritual realm, Diana, they are waiting for you, Diana. And there were no microphones at that time. What they didn't know. Okay, now this is just, it's illustrational. Auntie, please come. It's just illustration. Please don't be upset. Can you be Diana for us? I'll stay with you. What they did not know was that there was a demonic spirit conducting the choir. Teach them what to do. I Alexander, thank you. A demonstration once that Paul, because what happened next? Let's see what happened next. The mayor, you can take us to NLT. Then the mayor, at last, wise guy, he waited for two. Know how he could have stopped those people? He said he began to speak. Citizens of Ephesus, everyone knows he brought wisdom. Diana is the next verse, please. You know the story. Next verse. Next verse, please. Don't do anything rash. Next verse, please. You have brought these men here. They have stolen nothing from the temple. They haven't spoken against our goddess. If Demetrius and the craftsmen have a case against them, they cause sensation. The officials can hear the case at once. Let's make formal charges. If there are complaints about other matters, they can be settled in a legal assembly. I'm afraid, though, we're in danger of being charged with rioting by the Roman government, since there is no cause for all this commotion. And if Rome demands an explanation, we won't know what to say. Then he dismissed them and they dispersed. Hold on. From these guys chanting for 2 hours, have you seen a mob? Have you seen a riot on the streets? A football riot? Once I was driving, those days I was driving on the bridge, the Cold Bridge, and I looked ahead and I saw, there was some confusion where people used to carry leaves. And they had blocked the road. So I turned on the road. As I turned, it was like it was coordinated. The people who had blocked the road, all of a sudden formed a circle around the whole bridge. Difficult to explain. It's like when a mob begins to riot, it's like there's coalescing of multiple trouble spots by, where is she? What's your name? I have to take her personally. Because sure, I'm with her. So, where was Paul all this while? He tried to go in. They said, Paul, no. He found 12 guys. Hey. when I demonstrated this, I showed Paul diving at her and knocking her down. That was the only way that man's speech made any sense at all. Where was Paul? The next thing, we heard that Paul left the city. There's only so much. When the uproar was over, Paul sent for believers and encouraged them. He said goodbye and left. That man, hey, labo samata bahale. When we get to heaven, I'm going to look for two people. David and Paul. Hey, Dave, my man, Dave. Warrior. Hey, Paulo. Malay. Paul will say, look at my back. Let no one talk to me. I bear the marks. He'll say, Tony, my man, what did you go through in Nigeria? One day it was raining and I went to church. What did you go through? Then, what are the minor prophets? Joel will come. Habakkuk, give me one. Then Micah, no, which other one? Zechariah, one more. Haggai, one more. Obadiah. So Obadiah comes to greet you in heaven. He said, what's your name? He says, Obadiah. He said, I never heard of Obadiah. How did you get here? We're going to pray for just 5 minutes. And we are, in fact, there's no time now to take on spiritual issues about the nation. There's just time to deal with personal issues and family and curses. The things now you know why I was proclaiming in the beginning. At some point, I was struggling. I had to stop because they didn't understand what I was doing. I wish I waited till now. But it's okay because I plan that now God has given us a language in the spirit. Tonight, Apostle, we're shifting things. It's the privilege God has given you. Things are shifting tonight about the nation. It's going to happen suddenly, and you and I know. And they will look for you. You and I know. But some people have to birth it. You know, everyone says music. Oh, well, what's your name? Omawale. Great girl. Thank you. Let's clap for her. I was saying something. Skip my mind. So much going on in my mind right now about what God wants us to do. But what I know is that some of us need to sort out things around our lives, around our families, around our children, around the future. Just sit down for a moment. I think it would come to me. Let's just pray in the spirit. Lebra toshi. Just pray gently. Kebota sika. Jede. Jaluka vos kebota masikete. Have you wondered why? I don't want the shaker. It's too loud for me, please. Have you wondered why? When we receive the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? What happens? We speak in tongues. Why? He takes over your speech center. Brokers Area 44. This sign shall follow them that believe. What's the first sign? Please. What's the first sign? The demon warfare. What's the second sign? Lung utterance. Jadila Zuta Bora Barika Hatale Jadele Mosukeba Kiba Sukaba. The drummer, just gentle with him. Is there a drummer there? Isn't there a drummer? How long would you go without prayer? You want to go to work and you haven't prayed? You want to take on business and you haven't broken through? How long? Shatu Sabota Ba Lekita. There's an anointing coming upon you now. Say, Lord, touch my mouth. Lord, touch my mouth. Put your words in my mouth. Lekuna suta bahalakite. Ijeboto suka bakide. Tonight, I want to join my faith with yours. I want to join my faith with yours. Shadosa Botaba, let's pray. Shatina Namasuta Bahataya. Legide Bo Shakite Bosuka. Ine Igelebo Shilegedebo. Remove every resistance. Break through every challenge, every opposition. La boto boto ke badusha bota sikada. Lekide boshi lekide bosuta bahaya. Kelele boshi lekide zilekide bo.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your spirit you've released upon us this evening. We bless your name and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, time is fast spent. We'll share the grace in fellowship. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. All right, 9 a.m. With the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest with us now and forevermore in Jesus. It doesn't end with a service. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not an action, it's a spirit. So you take it home. Some of you have to pray some things through tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, if you don't pray through, by tomorrow morning, you get weaker. There is carrious moment in the spirit. All right? So if you know you're pushing against something, don't delay it. Push through tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, then. God bless you all.